Hi, and welcome to this weekend edition of Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Starting off our program for today, volunteering and the Little Clown Project in Czech life. After that, we'll be talking with you, our listeners, in this month's mailbox. And later on in our program, another trip through the Czech radio archives. All that ahead, so please stay tuned. In the Czech Republic, where the state controlled everything under communism, volunteering does not enjoy a long tradition. But some 20 years after the demise of the former regime, more and more young volunteers are actively changing the face of their country. One of them is Petra Milsimerová, who runs a project called Little Clown, and is Sarah Barufka's guest in this edition of Czech Life.
We have some stamps with us.
Children really love to stamp.
Petra Milzimarová is getting ready to head out to a children's home in Milovice, a small village near Prague. I meet the shy 27-year-old at her two-bedroom apartment in the city, where she lives with her boyfriend and two dogs. Petra works as a preschool teacher, she's doing a master's degree, and she spends most of her free time volunteering.
Sometimes people ask me, why do you do a volunteer? And I say, I don't know, because it's just some power coming from inside. I just want to be with other people. I like people, and especially children. And I like to organize new things. And volunteering is a way how you can try it, how can you do it. And, for example, how can also young people learn important competences and important knowledge for their future life. So that's the reason why I started, to enrich my own life, and on the other side to enrich the other people through the activities I can do with them.
Volunteering is still a relatively new phenomenon in the Czech Republic, where the state controlled everything under communism. Petra has been volunteering since she was 18, nearly 10 years, and it is young people like her who are slowly changing the legacy of the former regime.
I think it's very enriching way how to spend the free time, because you can do with these people the activities you, for example, would do on your own, to go for a walk, to go to see the exhibition. It brings me a feeling I'm also useful for these people in my free time. It brings me the better feeling than if I went there just on my own.
Petra now runs a project called Little Clown, which is connected to the Czech Citizens Association Provázek. She and her team travel to children's homes to paint kids' faces and bring a bit of joy into the lives of the thousands of Czech boys and girls who grow up in such homes. Another legacy of communism, when institutionalized care was the only option for children who could not be raised by their parents. I went along with Petra and the Little Clown volunteers on their latest trip. It's Sunday at noon, and Petra meets her group of helpers at the train station. Milovice is only about an hour from the Czech capital, but volunteers from Petra's Little Clown organization are willing to travel to children's homes all over the country. Petra buys a ticket for the whole group, and then we are on our way. On the train, the group of volunteers chats, laughs, but also plans activities for the future. Though most of the Little Clown members do not work in the charity sector, volunteering is a big part of their life. Claudia Cruz, who has been coming along on Little Clown trips for some months now, works in advertising.
Normally, part of my hobbies are painting and teaching kids how to paint. So when I can combine kids and painting, I'm very, very happy. And I was telling the girls that usually when you paint, it's like a very, very lonely work. Even if you feel very good after that, it's still like only you and your canvas. So when you do it with kids, it's very funny because it's like an interactive painting, and they always tell you what they want and how they feel after you paint it on them. No? So that's what I like it.
Today, the little clown team has arrived early. The children, aged 3 to 6, are still taking a nap. Petra, though soft-spoken, is an organizational whiz. She quickly directs her helpers to set up craft stations where kids can make clown hats, have their faces painted, or draw pictures. Improvisation is also a big part of the job, she says.
We will have more little kids who are new in this institution, so we were talking if it is better to have less or more activities for these kids, and we found out we will have just 2 or 3, and we will see how it works, and maybe if any kid is bored, we could do something special with this kid. But we have enough volunteers, so there will be 1 volunteer for each kid, so I think it will work well.
Já jsem Petra, jak se jmenuješ?
The kids pile into the room and Petra sings an introduction song with them. Once everyone knows each other by name, she and her team transform the children into lions, clowns, vampires, and princesses, or cartoon characters.
It's usual that when we do the face painting, the small kids and also the older ones, they choose Spider-Man or Batman because they know these heroes from television. It's quite usual that they watch television a lot here in these institutions, because when the nurses have lots of them, sometimes they just put the TV on when there is some problem with one of them and they need to attract the other children. So they know these heroes from television. And they want to be the same as they are, good, helping people, brave. And that's the reason why I think they choose Spider-Man and Batman.
Later, Petra is helping a little boy cut out a mask from colored paper. The kids are not just entertained by the volunteers and the activities offered. They can also pick up some skills. What can they learn?
Training, cutting with scissors, doing this because we have these special scissors with different cuts or knives, different knives that some of them make waves, some of them make triangles, and children really love it to cut with these scissors.
Meanwhile, volunteer Alena Prokivinska is busy at the face painting station. She has been coming along on little clown trips for about a year now.
Because I enjoy it. I love children. I don't have my own, but I enjoy kids and I love to be here. It's so much fun all the time and I'm just having a great time with these people.
At the end of the 4-hour visit, Petra says she will play a special game with the children. It's become a sort of tradition.
We will now play the game Pass the Parcel. So it's a big parcel with toys inside, and we pass it around, we sing, and when we stop singing, the one who is holding the parcel opens the first wrap, and there is one toy, then it goes around again, there is another wrap, and it goes on, and every child got a small toy as a present. Kočka leze
díru. Pass the Parcel is a big success with the boys and girls. Then it's time to pack up and head back home. While the others are cleaning up, I ask little clown volunteer Lucie Macákova about Petra's motivation.
It makes her sense, I think. It makes the sense of her life, I would say. Because I feel like she's not the person who prefer to make money, but she's definitely a person who prefers to work with the people and help them and do something that has, I would say, human value.
Another volunteer, Věra Bucharová, has a similar reason for engaging in the Little Clown project. I ask her if she had fun today.
Yes, I had fun. I always have fun. That's why I keep coming.
And how long have you been coming?
With this program, 3 years. But I've been involved in Provázek for 7 years.
And why do you do it?
That would be a really long answer. Because I'm a teacher and I work at international schools, so we have kids of rich people, so helping the less fortunate kids. That's why I do it. It's like the balance, healthy balance.
Petra also believes that even taking a little time out of your schedule can have a profound effect. She says that often her volunteers bring a kind of energy and motivation to their activities that set them apart from employees of children's homes.
I think volunteering makes differences because there is a difference between people doing something like a job and people doing volunteering, because there is a different approach. People doing a job, they make difference as well when it is, for example, a job for people. But I think volunteers, they approach to it somehow differently because they don't do it every day. They choose it. They choose what they want to do, and they, for example, do it once a week or twice in month. So they have more energy for the people they want to help.
In the summer, Little Clown also engages in outdoor activities with the children. Petra Milzimerova, part of a new generation of Czech volunteers, is even planning to bring her horse along with her on the next trip.
Sara Borůvka there with Czech Life. Now for the next installment of our monthly mailbox program, where we'll talk with you, our listeners.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox. Before we get to your answers to our April quiz question, here's a message from Karl Strauss from the United Kingdom.
I have always enjoyed the music of the great Czech composer Julius Fučík. I would like to know if there is a plaque or anything to commemorate this man in Prague, as I understand he was buried in the city.
The house where Julius Fučík was born in Prague no longer exists. According to a Czech internet news site, the only plaque commemorating this composer is in Austria. He's buried in Prague's Vinohradský hřbitov. Julius Fučík was our mystery man back in 2009, and you can look up on our website what Radio Prague's listeners had to say about this remarkable musician. But now on to last month's question. Paul R. Peacock from Australia writes,
František Kupka was born on the 23rd of September 1871 in Opočno, Bohemia, the son of a small town notary. He often left home as he was not happy living with his father and stepmother. He studied in both Prague and Vienna and greatly admired Rodin and Toulouse-Lautrec. He worked as an illustrator of books and posters, becoming known in his earlier years for his satirical drawings found in magazines and newspapers. During the First World War, he joined an infantry company before becoming an officer in the Czech Legion and fought on the Somme, being discharged in 1919 with the rank of captain. After the war, he worked in the French Department of Defense, taught students from Prague Academy of Fine Arts, and of course he resumed painting. Later in life, he would divide his works into thematic categories rather than chronological.
Li Ming from China wrote,
I searched on the internet and I think the mystery man you're looking for is František Kupka, who stands as one of the most important abstractionists of the early 20th century, as well as one of the first innovators of pure abstraction. He created a theory that painting could be articulated in chromatic relationships, and as musicians were free to create sounds not found in nature, artists should be able to explore these same freedoms with forms and colors. There has not been another artist since that has achieved the uniqueness of vision that Kupka brought forth, although most abstractionists of the 20th century sought inspiration and were influenced by these avant-garde studies.
This is what Charles Konecny from the United States wrote.
František had two artistic lives. He started in the traditional style of painting with reasonable success, and even then some of his paintings seemed to have a touch of abstract look to them. Later, his second life started when the abstract urge really kicked in, and he became a pioneer of the art and soon was considered as one of the most original and innovative abstract painters. So the abstract art world owes much to Kupka. I have often wondered what takes more art skills, a traditional painting of flowers in a pot, titled Flowers in a Pot, or the abstract painting with some globs of paint going everywhere, titled Flowers in a Pot.
Mary Lou Krennic from Texas adds a more personal note.
His famous self-portrait in 1907, The Yellow Scale, is at the Museum of Fine Arts in Houston, Texas, a museum I visit quite often. It was a gift of Audrey Jones Beck.
Colin Law from New Zealand included a lot of detail in his long answer.
František Kupka was born on the 23rd of September 1871 in Opočno, East Bohemia. He was the eldest of five children of public notary Václav Kupka and his wife Josephine Kupková, born Špačková. The house at 6 Zámecká Street carries a tablet commemorating the birth of František Kupka. František Kupka died in Pitou, a commune in the western suburbs of Paris, on the 24th of June 1957. Since his funeral, the urn with his ashes has remained in obscurity in the columbarium of the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris. However, it was reported in March of this year that the Culture, Defense and Foreign Affairs Ministries were arranging transport of the urn to Vyšehrad Cemetery in Prague. It is not clear whether this has happened yet, but there is concern among art historians that as Kupka chose to live and remain in France, it would be against the artist's wishes for his ashes to be repatriated to Prague.
And of course, Radio Prague will keep you updated on future developments. Thank you very much for taking the time to research the answer. This time, our prize goes to Li Ming from China. Congratulations, and here's a question for the month of May. This month, we would like to know the name of the Czech-born British architect, author of a number of award-winning innovative designs, who was born in 1937 in Prague and died in 2009. Please send your answers, as always, to english@radio.cz by the end of May. There will be a prize for the lucky winner whose name is picked out of the hat. In the meantime, you can also send us your comments, questions and reception reports to the same address. We are looking forward to your feedback. And before I go, here's a few bars of Zlatá Praha by the Czech brass music composer and conductor František Kmoch, as requested by our listener Karl Strauss from the United Kingdom. Enjoy the music, and until next time, happy listening.
Many thanks to Pavla Horáková and to all of you who took the time to write into us. Now, as ever of a Saturday, it's time for another trip down memory lane, or rather through the halls of the Czech radio archives. Here's David Vaughan.
If there was one sound guaranteed to infuriate Czechoslovakia's communist leaders during the 1970s and 80s, it was this. The call sign of the US-funded Radio Free Europe, broadcasting from Munich to the countries of the Eastern Bloc. After the Soviet invasion of 1968, many Czech and Slovak émigrés of a wide variety of political hues ended up working for the station's Czechoslovak section. Back home, they found a receptive audience, and Czechoslovakia's communist leaders became little short of obsessed with discrediting Radio Free Europe's broadcasts. Here is a short extract from a Czechoslovak radio program from 1976, which opens by playing that despised call sign.
Tato znělka patří ilegální rozhlasové stanici, která je nástrojem podvratné a špionážní činnosti.
This is the signature of an illegal radio station, which is a tool of the subversive and espionage activity of the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States of North America. infamously known by the abbreviation CIA. The report then turned its venom to dissidents within Czechoslovakia.
Slovo je latinského původu. Znamená odpadlík nebo odštěpenec.
The word dissident is of Latin origin. It means turncoat or separatist. But for Radio Free Europe it has a different meaning. It means ally.
Pro svobodnou Evropu má však význam jiný. Spojenec.
Czechoslovakia's campaign against the station reached its peak in 1976 with an event that is pure Cold War. On January the 29th, the Czechoslovak Union of Journalists in Prague hosted a high-profile press conference attended by no less than 137 journalists from 16 different countries. The man introduced as the hero of the day was the Czechoslovak counterintelligence agent Captain Pavel Minářík. He had been working for several years as a Radio Free Europe announcer in Munich, but had secretly been sending regular reports back to Prague. Now he was back home, and for nearly 2 hours he drew a picture of Radio Free Europe as a hotbed of American espionage.
CIA, prostřednictvím svých lidí a příslušné vnější kamufláže.
The CIA, through its agents and camouflaged behind a different facade, has absolute control over Radio Free Europe and determines all programming in Munich and in its branches in Paris, Rome, London, Vienna and Brussels. Program,
vysílání i práci filiálek obou stanic v Paříži, Římě, Londýně, Vídni, Bruselu.
He went on to name numerous former colleagues as CIA agents, although in the great majority of cases, the evidence he offered was extremely thin. But some damage was done in the very fact that a Czechoslovak agent had managed to remain undetected for so long within Radio Free Europe. Captain Minářík became a hero of the regime, and one normalization pop star, Josef Laufer, even wrote a song in his honour.
Díky vám.
Thank you, brave lad, for your courage, wisdom and strength. You are our captain. They are superfluous. You have added azure to the wings of peace. After the fall of communism in 1989, Pavel Minářík did not last long at Czechoslovakia's interior ministry. Like many former agents, he began a second career as a businessman. And earlier this year, a court in Brno found him guilty of an insurance scam worth several million Czech crowns. The result of an appeal is pending.
That was David Vaughan with From the Archives, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. If you'd like to listen again or recommend the program to others, we are always on the internet for you. Simply turn to our website at radio.cz. We are always happy to discuss your questions and comments. You can write to us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course with a good old-fashioned letter to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.